Hey, college football fans. This podcast is brought to you by Citi. And whether it's football or finance, teamwork matters, which is why Citi is proud to bring you college football's finest. The 2010 Rose Bowl game presented by Citi. This is the ESPNU College Football Podcast.
College Football Podcast.
Your host today, Ivan Maisel.
Hello and welcome to the ESPNU College Football Podcast. It's Tuesday, January 5th. This is Ivan Maisel, senior writer at ESPN.com, live and staring at the Pacific Ocean in Newport Beach, California, and not doing that in Pittsburgh is Beano Cook. How are you, Beano?
Well, I'm freezing and you're looking at the sun. There's a difference.
Yes.
It's difference. I mean, when you get back to Connecticut, I have a feeling it's still going to be cold.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Cold.
I actually heard that this morning, that they expect that cold snap to last into next week, which delighted my wife to hear.
Your personality, you'd be right at home.
My wife was thrilled to hear I would be able to share in their joy, you know, that they've
okay.
had this week. Yeah. So, Beano, obviously, I am not strictly out here on vacation. We got a championship game coming up Thursday night, number one Alabama, number two Texas. Both teams have been traipsing over here to the media hotel every day, and we've been talking to them, and I'm getting kind of excited about the game. What are your thoughts as we're 2 days away?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, I'm excited. I was talking to somebody, and people are betting Texas. That doesn't mean that Texas is going to win. I think Alabama's going to win. I think it's going to be close. But I'm excited. I mean, I'm 3,000 miles away, and everybody complains about the BCS. If we didn't have the BCS, Alabama and Texas already would have played. Texas in the Cotton Bowl, Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and everybody in Texas would be mad because they'd be number two in the polls and saying, why isn't there a game? We have a game.
That's right.
And the BCS succeeds in its purpose. Explain the purpose, Ivan, because you know the rules by line, and I was kidding you about your personality. I don't want any hate mail.
I was joking,
believe me. No. Believe me, I was joking.
No worries.
Tell them what's the purpose of a BCS?
It's strictly to match the top two ranked teams and get a championship game, and that's it. That's all there is, and
nothing to do with the other polls, right?
No, it was born out of what you described, which is the problems that we had for 40 years in college football. Not every year, but occasionally, you'd have two teams that should have played, but the bowls had their regional champions, and then they couldn't play. The best teams couldn't always play each other.
And Ohio State, Miami,
exactly.
Texas, USC.
Exactly.
Especially that Texas-USC game is a memorable game because it wasn't decided by the officials. They don't play.
No.
They don't play. So, you know, we're going to have a plus one. I thought it'd be after next season, but it'll be after the 2014 season. We're going to have a plus one. We're going to have three games, two on New Year's and then one 10 days later. So be patient, but be grateful that somebody came up with the BCS in this Texas-Alabama game. And Alabama, correct, has never beaten Texas, correct?
That's correct. Alabama is 0-7-1.
And they had the tie in the Lou Bonham Bowl.
Yeah.
But don't get tricked by saying that Bear Bryant never beat Texas. He did when he was at Texas A&M in 1956. So don't get trapped.
Okay.
Don't get trapped by some guy who suckers you in on a bet and says, oh, no, Bear Bryant did beat Texas. Well, say, oh, no, he never did. Yeah. He did, 1956.
The other point I would make about this whole issue, Beano, is that there was about a 16-17-year period from the late 40s to the mid-60s where number one and number two never played. You know, and I think we take for granted, as which is essentially what you're saying, we take for granted that one and two will play at the end of the year. But there was a, I think it was from the one of the
I know,
Yeah, it was
Navy, Notre Dame. I mean, Navy, Texas played.
Right.
After the 63 season. Now,
that was the first.
Was there anyone before that?
I don't think. I think you have to go back to Notre Dame and Army, you know, in after the war. I think there was no number one versus number two between, you know, those two games. So,
right.
Yeah.
I never knew that. You mean during the regular season?
Yeah.
There was no number one and two?
Yeah. I've got the record book in my computer, and I will look it up while we're talking, but that's my memory. And
if we're wrong, we will get an email.
Oh, yeah.
Our fans are pretty knowledgeable. That's amazing. No number one played number two from Army Notre Dame in 46. That is, and to Texas Navy in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it's
Yeah, you're right. I know in the bowl games it did not happen.
The 0-0 tie, November 9th, 1946. And the next one, well, we were wrong. The next one was the 63 Rose Bowl, USC Wisconsin.
Hey, okay.
Yeah.
Let's not use the word we.
Yeah. I was trying to bail you out, Dino.
Wisconsin, USC, that's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Wisconsin, for some reason, was a 2.5-point favorite over USC. USC was number one, Wisconsin number two. But still. That's a long time that number one doesn't play number two.
You know, and I don't think anybody made a fit, you know. I don't think anybody got mad. It's just kind of the way things were. And now, of course, it's considered I think it's in the Bill of Rights that number one has to play number two and that we have to have a playoff. So,
oh, I forget. I made the mistake. I said Navy, Notre Dame. So I made the mistake, too. But I want to make sure you don't get all the blame. Yeah, it came after 1966. That was the beginning of people saying, why don't we have this? And because Michigan State was mad because Notre Dame was number one, and Alabama was furious because they said, wait a second, we're 10-0, and those two teams are 9-0-1, and we're number three. That's where it began.
Yes.
That's when it got heated. And then it ruined Ireland, as I've said before in this podcast. He got Duffy Doherty to talk about a playoff. So this stuff about having a playoff, all these people on the talk show think that's something new. It's been going on for 40 years. The Bulls from day one fought it.
Yes.
They fought it. And, now we have it, and quit complaining. That's all I say.
Well, let me back up a minute. You think that you say everyone's betting Texas, and you think it'll be a close game. Why do you think it'll be a close game?
But that's my prediction.
I know, but
I think it will be close. I don't know the technical aspects. I think Texas will make it close. That's my prediction. Alabama wins in a close one. 24-23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Yeah, I mean, you have to make a prediction on the score if you're picking the favorite.
Okay. Well,
you have to make a prediction on the score, whether they're going to be beat by more than 4 points or not. I mean, you just can't say Alabama's going to win.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's people are all... You think Texas is going to win. You don't. We both think Alabama... Do you think Alabama's going to win by more, by a touchdown?
No, I do not. I would say it will be 20-17.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're in Vegas, you're taking Texas.
Yes.
What's the points?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing I will point out about this week, and I think it's the reason a lot of people are betting Texas, is Texas is getting a lot of questions about, well, how come Nebraska almost beat you? How come you couldn't protect Colt McCoy that night? And the players all say, listen, we don't need negative motivation. You know, we're playing for a national championship. But, you know, these guys are competitors. I mean, you know, they don't like to hear about how they didn't play well, or they don't like to hear people questioning you. It's a totally normal reaction. And I just wonder, you know, how much of an effect that may have.
Well, I would think so.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think kids can get motivated one way or the other. Yeah.
And I don't expect either team. I mean, I expect it'll be a close game, just because neither of these coaches gets beat up very badly in recent years. You know, obviously, you know, Alabama's lost two games in 2 years. Texas has lost one game in 2 years. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great night and a great matchup. And the Rose Bowl usually delivers, you know, in these settings.
So, yeah. It's going to be a great scene with will Devo be there?
You know, it's
the mascot for Texas.
Yeah,
does he travel or she or whatever? Do they bring the Longhorn? Do you think Devo will be there?
I assume he'll be here somewhere. I can't imagine he wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
the Alabama cheerleaders are there. That's what counts.
I know they'll be there. I know they'll be
there. It's going to be a great scene. Alabama, Texas. Oh, two of the blue bloods of college football, as Brent Musburger referred to them on the air the other night. Yeah, I mean, it's a great game. It's a great setting.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Be grateful, America. Be grateful.
And the tickets, or the face value of the tickets is $275, and I saw a buddy of mine from Alabama last night who said he was, you know, he was hoping he could get something for $500, because he had some family. He was looking for two tickets for family members, and he was hoping he could get something for $500. So it's a big deal.
$500 per ticket?
Per ticket, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, it's
I thought we were in a recession.
Well, this is the same Alabama fan base that's allowing the university to expand Bryant-Denny Stadium, so we are not in a recession, at least.
Let me say one thing about Alabama.
Yeah.
They were the team from the South at the Rose Bowl. They never invited Southern teams to the Rose Bowl. They thought the football back in the 20s was inferior, and they invited Alabama, and they came up, and I believe they beat Washington State 20-19,
yes.
And people my age will remember one of the stars for Alabama, because he became a movie star.
Yes.
You know who that is? Johnny Mack Brown.
Johnny Mack Brown was a cowboy hero. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were the reason Southern football started getting attention, was Alabama. And also was the Alabama band in the Rose Bowl, what was called the Million Dollar Band.
That's right. And the Rose Bowl is a line in the Alabama fight song. Remember, the Rose Bowl will win then. And this is Alabama's first postseason game in the Rose Bowl since the 1945 season. They came out and beat USC.
Yeah, Harry Gilmore, they just slaughtered you,
yeah.
USC.
That's right. So,
see, I hated as a kid when they made that pack with the Big Ten. Now, everybody thinks it's the greatest pack. What it did, the Cotton Bowl in the beginning did not have a pack with the Southwest, but they got one. But no other bowl had a pack with any conference.
Uh-huh.
The Rose Bowl was open. So I was against, not against the Big Ten, but it should be open. Because I like the fact that, you know, Georgia Tech went to the Rose Bowl, Tennessee went to the Rose Bowl. You know, Southern teams went. Georgia went with Frankie Sinkwich during the war. Those teams went, and now they were going to be shut out, and we ended up with the Sugar Bowl, with the Southeast Conference, and the Big Eight with the Orange Bowl. It all came out of that. But you know, it's turned out well for the Rose Bowl to have the pack with the Big Ten. It's worked out, but in the beginning I was against it. I'm, you know, it doesn't matter now.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well,
I like the fact that anybody could go.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of, except from the Southwest Conference. They, you know, SMU went to the Rose Bowl 1 year.
I had forgotten.
You know, they lost to Stanford 7-0. Yeah. So, it was great. But it's the Big Ten and the Pac-10, and that's the way it's going to be most of the time, unless they're involved in a national title game.
That's right. That's right. So I did want to ask you about last night's game, Boise State beating TCU 17-10, a defensive struggle. You have to be a real connoisseur of defense or a Boise State fan to have enjoyed that game. But, once again, we underestimate the Broncos, and once again, they make fools of us.
And all the stuff that TCU was, Texas is only the second best team in Texas.
Yes.
TCU's number one. I'm not knocking Tennessee, TCU, but they did get beat. I thought they would win. I had no idea by how much, but I kept hearing from a certain senior writer,
yes,
from ESPN, who saw him play, who told me, they're good, Dino, they're good. Do you know who that was?
I'll find out, and we'll report back next week. TCU's defense played well. They gave up 10 points. Boise State scored a defensive touchdown, and the one touchdown that Boise State got was off of a perfectly executed fake punt.
Did you see that coming?
Not at all. No. In fact, I didn't even see it live. I left the bar where I was watching the game to go back to the hotel and heard it on the radio. So that was great timing on my part. But it was just a flawless play, and they obviously had seen something in the video, because there was all kind of room in the middle of the field for the play to work, and it worked perfectly. And they gained 29 yards and knocked TCU back on their heels and just moved right in for the score. So I wonder, those of us out here had talked about that game being, the battle for number two. Who do you think will finish number two? Do you think it'll be Boise, Florida, or the loser of this game Thursday night?
If the loser of this game is close, it should be the loser of this game.
Yeah.
It's close. If not, it should be Florida.
Okay, over Boise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably the toughest conference in the country, and they lost one game, Alabama, and Alabama played for the national title. If Alabama wins the national title, Florida should be probably number two. Unless it's a real close game, then you give it to Texas number two. Nothing against Boise State. You and I are the two guys, along with a lot of other people, who felt that Boise State and TCU should have been playing teams from the BCS. That TCU should have been playing Florida, and Boise State should have been playing Cincinnati.
I mean, that's what we wanted.
I mean, this game, it had to be a disappointment for both teams to have to play each other.
I don't think
they said it, because they don't want to insult anybody, because they want to come back.
But
I think they had to be disappointed.
I didn't think that. You thought that. I like this game. I thought, listen, if this is the two teams, if they got here on merit, then they should play each other. And they wouldn't have proven anything one of them would have had to have played Cincinnati or Iowa or Georgia Tech, and I don't think that would have proven much, any more than playing each other.
One would have played Florida.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. But But I like.
I would disagree again.
Yeah, I like the idea that the two were undefeated, and if they want to be treated like the rest of the teams, which is what they've been asking for, we want equal treatment. Then let the chips fall, and they fell this way, and Boise State won. So, speaking of Florida, you had some thoughts about Urban Meyer and his
the guys in CBS last week, Tony Barnhart and Spencer Tilghman, both said it. They were asked by Tim Randall, Urban Meyer be back in 2011 in Florida, and they both said no.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with that. You don't think he's ever going to coach there again, do you? You don't know. You have to make a prediction. I mean, he might. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But if I had to make a prediction, I would say if Rich Rodriguez doesn't win six games this year, he'd be at Michigan in 2011.
Wow.
That's a prediction. That's inside information. Yeah, we're in the, people want us to make predictions and they want us to be wrong.
Yeah. That's a great prediction.
I hope he's back.
Yeah, I do too.
But if he isn't, and I don't think he will be at Florida, but I hope he is. But if he isn't, if it's Rodriguez, look, I think Rodriguez is on the hot seat next year. I mean, they were 4-0, and they won one of the last eight games, and it was Delaware State.
Yeah.
Now, this is Michigan.
Yes.
The cupboard wasn't bare. He wasn't going to Indiana or Northwestern, where they're speaking of that coach. Boy, that guy was. I mean, he's unbelievable, Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Giving Auburn all they could handle. But my point is, they had players. Now, I'm not against Rodriguez. I don't want to hear that. I like him. And I hope he has a good year. But he has one tough non-league game at Notre Dame. And I think, I don't know what the other three are. But the conference isn't that tough. He plays the reverse of this year's schedule. He has, I don't know, top of my head, he has to go to Penn State and he has to go to Ohio State. But I mean, he should win 6 or 7 games. But I think if he's 6-6, he probably stays. If he's 5-7, they're gonna make a change.
Well, you're probably right. Well, I'm not even gonna say that. I mean, I wanna know who the AD is that's gonna be making the decision, and I wanna see how they play, because he doesn't have the talent he needs for his system, and he doesn't.
Well, I agree in that.
Michigan. Yeah.
It's Michigan.
Yes.
It's not a bunch of kids or walk-ons. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you might be 100% right.
Yeah.
On who the AD is and all that.
Yeah.
Not saying if he's 5-7, a change should be made. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I just think it would be made.
Okay.
Steve Urban and I were available.
Okay. I like the prediction, though.
Never coach anywhere else would be one of three schools. Notre Dame, Michigan, or Ohio State.
That makes sense, because he's a Midwestern boy.
I want him back. I just think he's a great coach. And I hope he stays at Florida. Because Saban against Urban Meyer is like Alexander the Great against Caesar. That's what it is. I mean, that's what it is.
I was going to go with Woody and Bo, but okay. I'll go with Alexander and Caesar.
Yeah.
Speaking of great coaches, your favorite moment of the bowl season?
Bobby Bowden, the spear.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know who came up with that idea. Yeah. But I mean, it was tremendous. All at once, Thor Lundquist was, clued in. He said, well, somebody's coming. What's going on here? He knew, of course.
Yeah.
And he should have known. I mean, you got to tell the cameraman, well, let's get the producer, what's going to happen. So I thought he was going to get off. I thought they were going to get off the horse and throw the spear into the ground. But I think they do that when they play Florida at home. It's the only time the mascot gets off the horse. From what I'm told, he looks all around the stadium and throws the spear. So I thought he was going to get off the horse and throw the spear. I had no idea. Bobby Bowden comes out, he throws the spear. It was obvious, I would think, the lead on Sports Center that night.
Yeah.
I mean, I think instead of showing some guy running 80 yards, which you see every Saturday, he throwing the spear. I thought it was absolutely magnificent. That's a great moment. And I kind of like West Virginia, but I'm glad Bobby went out. 300 players showed up. They're going to miss him. Did you know, after every game, I tell you, the home games, he has breakfast with the media?
Oh, yeah. No, I've been several times.
I knew that, but I forgot it.
Yeah, it was wonderful because you got an hour of unexplicated Bobby. I mean, he just would talk, and he's such a people person, and he would be so open, largely open. No coach is ever completely open, but and we all spent so much time around him that you would learn his verbal tics. If it was a question he didn't want to answer, he'd pretend like it was something that came right out of the Lincoln-Douglas debates, and he would repeat it, and he would look up at the ceiling, and repeat it and pretend like he was thinking about it, and then he'd, you know, give you a non-answer, you know, and you'd walk away, you know, feeling great about yourself, you know, but the...
You know, well, the sad part is he spends all those years at that school. It's kind of like I thought of Dan Rather at CBS, all these years at CBS, and they ended up in a court case.
Yeah.
It's a very bitter, you know, ending between CBS and Dan Rather. It's not as bad with Bobby Bowden in Florida State, but it's too bad it had to end the way it did.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to think that, I don't know if bitter is the word to use for Bobby. I don't think he's that type of guy.
No, he's
but
not.
I think he's hurt and somewhat upset. And I presume his wife is probably mad.
Yes.
But she's a great woman. But I hated to see it end that way. And
No, I agree.
I thought it was great that the players, 300 players, they had the Seminole walk. It was, you know, I mean, the Gator Bowl got lucky.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they got a memorable moment. It was like the Liberty Bowl in Bear Bryant's last game. I talked to Bud Dudley, the late Bud Dudley, who was executive director. He said, we've never had anything like this. They built a special tent for after the game for Bear Bryant to go and meet with the media.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was big. I mean, Bear Bryant's last game?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know, I mean, and that was big, 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 and this was big. Nothing was bigger than Bear Bryant, but I mean, this was big, and I felt good for the Gator Bowl and a great crowd and a great scene. It was, and I was rooting for Florida. I was rooting for Bobby Bowden.
Exactly.
And they won the game. It was great.
Yeah. It was special. Bino, we got one email I wanted to read to you because it's very nice and eloquent on our favorite sport. It says, Dear Ivan and Bino, I want to thank you both for keeping college football as college football. It seems that many at ESPN want college football to be the NFL, and thankfully it's not. Unlike NFL fans, college fans really care about the history of a game. The other day, an Iowa player dared to wear number 25 at practice, and all over the blogosphere and in all the papers, they commented on that faux pas because no Iowa player or fan would ever wear that number since it belongs to Niall Kinnick. I like the present tense there. Who in the NFL cares about things like this? That is what makes college so much better. The Rose Bowl, the Grove at Ole Miss, Floyd of Rosedale, Gold Pants, Touchdown Jesus, War Eagle, Bear Bryant, Joe Pa, all of this makes it better. And thanks to Bino and you, we still get that at least once a week. Sincerely, Raymond Bianchi, Iowa 89, Go Hawks.
Ah!
Isn't that a great
I didn't realize 25 was his number.
Yeah.
Well, they had strange numbers on those years.
Yeah.
Like, Vangio Battelli wore 48.
Yeah.
You know, he wore 25 at practice. Oh, how did that happen? Did they find out?
Well,
how did that happen? I don't think the player realized it.
Well, I don't know. He's currently in prison, and it's a felony in that state to wear number 25, I think. So.
Yeah. I never, you know, for the record, that the calling that they use at the Big Ten games, you know, to decide who receives and kickoff, has a picture of Niall Kinnick on one half of it.
That's very
cool.
So
I never knew that until I did a thing for ESPN in 1989 and Niall Kinnick, the 50th anniversary of his death. And Niall Kinnick was kind of like the Bill Bradley of football.
Yes.
I mean, he campaigned for Wendell Willkie in 1940.
Yes.
He was special. He was special. And, to Iowa, I mean, that's still the sacred name in Iowa. That's pretty funny, blogs and everything else. Yeah, that letter explains why we like college football.
Exactly. And
that could have been written by you, and it was very eloquent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Niall Kinnick, of course, died. He was a pilot in World War II and died in 1943 off the coast of Central or South America. He was at a base down there, and
they told him to come back. There wasn't room for him to land at that time, and they never saw him.
Yeah, he went out and was circling back around, and his plane
died. Something happened. Nobody has any idea what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So. It's unbelievable.
Well,
I mean, I can imagine what it was like when it hit the Iowa papers.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I mean, people have no idea, unless you're from Iowa, what he means to that state.
To this day. Birthdays this week, Bino. Tomorrow, January 6th, Doit Perry, a wonderful...
The old Bowling Green coach?
The old Bowling Green coach who spawned, his coaching tree is very full. There are a lot of guys that came out of the Doit Perry camp. And Lou Holtz's birthday, our ESPN colleague, also January 6th, also a Hall of Famer. And the one guy I wanted to bring up to you, January 8th, Steve Suey. Yeah.
Married the coach's daughter. Bob Higgins was the coach.
At Penn State.
Penn State. And they had that 47 team, which was undefeated, and they played Doak Walker in the Cotton Bowl and 13-13 tie. He married the coach's daughter, and Matt Suey, the fullback on the team, and I believe that was their son. Yeah, that was their son who lost to
Alabama.
It was Steve. Steve, and then his son was Matt. He played on the Sugar Bowl team. Who did they lose to? They lost to some team for the national title, some small school in Alabama. Do you know who that was?
I think it was Alabama. You know, it's the most famous.
Somebody made a goal line stand. Yeah.
They teach that play.
I think the grandson is a Suey on the team.
Yes,
what's his name? Keith Jackson had a great line. He said, "I normally don't like to have some fun with anybody's last name, but can you imagine if Matt Suey played for Arkansas?"
Exactly.
That's what made Keith Jackson so great.
Yeah.
I mean, the announcers are good now, but I miss Keith.
We all do.
Yeah.
So, Bino, it's a new year, and yet we fooled them again.
We keep fooling them.
Yes.
I thought things might change.
Yes.
New decade. The last decade had the recession, and they had everybody losing their homes, and the worst thing they had was the two of us going on every week during football season. But we fooled them.
Yes.
And we're back. And we're going to be back next week.
Yes.
And after that, we're going to be back every other week, and we will give you the date when we're going to start every other week.
That's right.
And Happy New Year, and may Texas, Alabama, not when the best team win, may the better team win. They always get on the air. When it's more than two, you say best. When it's two, it's the better team.
You already taught me between and among, so now I'm glad you taught me best and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best and boy, you know that. Better's two. Who's the better player? But it's the better team.
Yeah.
Now we don't know who the best team is gonna be next year.
Right.
But next week we will make our predictions as we did last year in January, and then we can change them in August. But we will make an early prediction of what two teams will play for the national title next year. I have my two. I know Ivan will think about it after he writes his great prose on this great game on Thursday night.
That's Bino Cook. This is Ivan Maisel. This has been the ESPNU College Football Podcast. Thanks for downloading it.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's show. For more great podcasts, check out the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com. Hey, college football fans. This podcast is brought to you by Citi. And whether it's football or finance, teamwork matters, which is why Citi is proud to present the 2010 Citi BCS National Championship Game.